Okay, so in Chamishi of Shmos, Moshe continues the negotiation, as it were, with Ribono Shel Olam. Normally that's something that would be unthinkable, but again, it's early on in Moshe Rabbeinu's development, and Moshe says, Shlach na b'yad tishlach. So Rashi comments that what Moshe had in mind was that his brother Aaron, who was older, who had already been established as a Navi, I would add in the third element, that not only was it a matter of, kavod, of the Ach HaGadol. The Rambam says that one is obligated in the kavod of the Ach HaGadol, kavod ha'av, midibrei sofrim, and the Rambam also discusses, or is it in kibud avayim, that this is something that the parents would want. But the third factor is, I think Moshe Rabbeinu is keenly aware. Aaron has been with the Jewish people in Egypt in their time of peril, and he's been, away for 60 years, and expression sort of, Johnny come lately, he doesn't even begin to describe, right, the fact that, the people have suffered and he hasn't been there with them. At one point he was, but he made a very clear decision to break with that, as discussed. And so it's something, I think, of a very important point, a very critical point, in fact, that Moshe's hesitance. I think that demonstrates a certain healthy reticence. But at this point, Hashem is very frustrated, Vayicharav Hashem b'Moshe, because Hashem isn't asking, he's telling him, and then he says, Halo Aaron achicha levi, yadati ki daveri daberhu, v'gam hinehu yotzei likrasach, v'racha v'samach v'libo. It's not like you think, Moshe, as Rashi narrates for us, but that he's really going to be genuinely happy for you. And if that's true, it's an amazing departure from all the older brothers, beginning with Cain, and continuing with Yishmael, and continuing with Esav, and continuing with Yosef's brothers, who were all deeply resistant, sometimes to the point of actual murder, sometimes to the point of attempted murder, right? Sometimes to the point of Bechira, none of these are particularly strong recommendations, in terms of older brothers, and then Aaron is this radical departure from that. And Chazal tell us, that this was a remarkable moment. It's a remarkable moment in the Torah. That's when Masech the Shabbos and Puflam the test. Karet Tzmima is an interesting comment that it's really a Mida Keneged Mida, because Aaron had to accept the fact that Vehu Yelecha Lelohim, right, that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be the one who's in charge. Targum Moklis is the Rav, the more powerful figure, and therefore Aaron was Zocha to the Choshe Mishpat, which is a form of Din, right? You come in front of the Urim V'tumim, and he becomes an Elohim, v'nikrav ba'al habayis Elo Elohim, in the sense of a Dayan in his own way. I think that's an interesting perspective. I think the idea that we would associate the Choshen Mishpat with Elohim is maybe a little bit of a stretch. I don't see too much evidence for that particular formulation, but be that as it may, I think it's an important, a very important perspective. What I wanted to try to add is along similar lines, but something that I've said many times in the past, in the context of why I think Aaron is Zocha to the Choshen Mishpat, which has to do with the role of the Kohen Gadol more generally, but in particular the symbolism of the Choshen Mishpat. V'nasa Aaron es Shemo Sam, that Aaron carries the names of the Shiftei Ka, v'hayu alev Aharon, right, that they are attached to his heart. That's what the Choshen Mishpat represents, that Aaron has space in his heart for all of the Shiftei Ka, and he represents them, in the Beis HaMikdash. And I think that's really the point. Only somebody who could be Ma'avir Almidosev, only somebody who could say, okay, so my younger brother is deemed more desirable. Okay, I'm older, I'm already a Navi, I've been here. Okay, for whatever reason Hashem thinks he's the right candidate, maybe it's Dafka because he hasn't been here, right? Many of the Mefarshim pointed out that he had a different mentality. He wasn't as impacted by slavery in terms of what he saw as real possibilities. But whatever the explanation is, I have to be Ma'avir al Midotai. So when a person can look past themselves, all of a sudden they have room in their heart for so many other people. If Aaron's ultimate responsibility was not only v'chiper ba'do ba'ad beiso, v'chiper ba'ad kol kahal adas Yisrael, right, in terms of representing the entire Jewish people. And only somebody who can really put his own personal needs aside I'll repeat that again. V'hamei v'nyavin, only somebody who can put their own personal needs, ego, our aside, is really ra'oi to do what is in the common good, v'hayu alev aharon, you know, to represent the group, whatever that group is, whether it's the shifteka, whether it's our polity, in the dangers of ego, aharon's godless, in terms of being ma'avir al-midosav, and I'll add one little nofach to that. You know, when Aaron, who's identified as the Oev Shalom, the Rodev Shalom, Oev Zavir, who's carved in the Torah, you know, that Avoster Vinasan that so exquisitely explains how Aaron was so successful in being a mediator for Shalom between people, I don't really think it's an accident. I don't think that Aaron, you know, was such an ingenious solution. He went up to the Reuven and said, Shimon is sorry. He went up to Shimon and said, Reuven is sorry. I think that all these things go in life, or whether it was a marital couple. You know, he went up to Chana and said, Chaim is sorry, and vice versa. The reason that people responded to Aaron is they saw that he was somebody who could put Shalom first, and he knew about Shalom bias, and he knew about sacrificing ego, right? The walk was far more impactful, persuasive, and compelling than any talk. Everybody able to continue.